the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Thursday, our fourth day back on the air after 11 months gone. One of these days, we got to get the studio wired for sound so you can hear what happens during the breaks. Like the fact that I only heard our side of the phone call, but I just heard Sarah talking to the... No. No, Will Ferrell... No, he's not dead. No, he's... No, it's not... Okay. Thank you. Good times. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3 today. World famous at Phil Hendry Show at 7. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio is going to be joining us later on this hour to talk about this child bride thing in Gainesville. Jen Lane will be here from Barfly Magazine. We'll do the top five worst songs in the box of firing crap that I took home from Entercom, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, let's check in with Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Let's talk about aging baby boomers because they are in the news. A conference on aging is underway in Anaheim, California, where there are lots of old white people, where a number of strategies for older Americans are being discussed. What will we do about baby boomers anyway?
Now that the baby boomers are getting AARP cards, the interest has grown for the conference sponsored by the National Council on Aging and American Society on Aging. Scott Parkin with NCOA says the Medicare drug plan is one of the topics.
It is difficult. It is hard. It has to be, we have to talk to people. We have to sit one-on-one with them. And we have a number of campaigns going on around the country to do just that.
Advocates for the elderly say congressional funding for senior programs remains a challenge. Ed McCarthy, CNN.
I have no
idea. They're getting those scooters to ride around on now.
I have no idea what that soundbite was about.
Well, these people are getting older.
I don't know. I like how suddenly healthcare is a concern because baby boomers are getting older.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
It's fun not to be able to walk anymore.
Maybe you shouldn't have dropped all that acid and danced naked in the rain at Woodstock.
Yeah.
I have. Suddenly we've got to do something about it because, the big chill generation suddenly isn't able to pee correctly. So,
yeah.
All right. Whatever you say, Anaheim's the perfect place to hold that seminar.
Absolutely.
Anaheim really is the home of 65-year-old neurotic white people.
Plenty of mid-century homes.
Man, I was at the store last night and I saw a woman rolling around one of those rascals.
Yeah.
And of course she's huge. And it's like you like to believe that it's she's not huge because she's in the rascal. You know what I mean? You know that she's just in it because she's... Those big cankles just don't want to support her when she starts walking down the aisle to buy Cheese Whiz.
Nate and I have a terrible game we play.
I want to hear it.
Fat or crippled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a ton. We made up a ton of them. Like hipster or homeless. And,
big red spandex.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, they're all, all of those hipster homeless kids. Yeah, they're all, wait, are these personal games you play?
Yeah, it's like we'll see some, oh God, I sound like I'm going to hell. Okay.
We're all going to hell.
Okay. Yeah, if you see someone, a bigger person in a wheelchair, we play the game. You know?
Okay, wait, I'm going to make a note of this. Hold on. So the games you play are fat or crippled.
Hipster or homeless.
Is that...
Lesbians or sisters.
Wait, hold on.
We know the answer to that in this town.
Hipster. It can be hard to tell here.
I suppose so.
I've talked about this before. There's a lot of women in Portland and in Oregon, but specifically in Portland, where it's... I mean, where they all look like they ought to, they all look like they ought to be driving a long haul truck somewhere. I mean, it's like you get a lot of women that have the sort of short hair, and that they are what politely might be called stout,
mm-hmm.
and you know what I mean. And they got like that, they got the weird those pants that you see the 50-year-old guys wear, like the assless pants where they just sort of hang, like there's just a sag. And you see a lot of women here that have those too, and they're always kind of the big women look like they own like a siding company or something, or like a security firm. All right, hold on. Hipster or
lots
homeless?
Lots of keys.
Hipster or homeless? Lesbians or sisters?
Uh-huh.
Lesbians. See, in Spokane, we played daughter or girlfriend.
Oh, that's a good one.
Where you would totally see the guy, and then you'd have the huffing Lindsay type. With him, and it was totally daughter or girlfriend, lesbians or sisters.
And then Nate and I went up to Mount Hood one day, and we played Snow Angel or Seizure. Because people kept dropping on the ground
there?
And flailing around. Yeah.
That's the one sending you to hell, by the way.
Okay.
All right. All right, so, yeah, aging baby boomers. What's the, we have another cut there?
We do, because many of these baby boomers are getting older themselves. They are called the so-called sandwich generation for some reason. I guess they're making them into sandwiches.
They are facing that problem where they have
baby boomers.
Children at home or children in college, and all of a sudden they have an elderly parent who, has to have long-term care.
The green is baby boomers. Here's why I'm happy about baby boomers.
There's a huge supply of these people out there.
you could start killing baby boomers by the thousands every day, and you'd never be. They're like the Chinese; you'd just never be able to get rid of them all. But my wife is a nurse, man, and that's our bread and butter right there. I mean, it's like the young people aren't getting a whole lot of ailments. It's totally the baby boomers. It's totally people between the ages of like 50 and 65. That's who's going to be paying my rent. So, man, I don't care. Eat as much of that Haagen-Dazs and croissants as you want, all right? It doesn't matter to me. Don't wear your seatbelts. Turn off your airbag. Drink all night.
Recharge that rascal.
It doesn't matter. Because the sicker you get, the more money's going to be coming to my house. So I'm entirely fine with that. All right.
Time for the religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Evangelist Pat Robertson said on his live news and talk program, The 700 Club, that Islam is not a religion of peace and that radical Muslims are satanic. His comments came after he watched the news story on his Christian Broadcasting Network about Muslim protests in Europe over the cartoon drawings. He remarked that the outpouring of rage elicited by cartoons just shows the kind of people we're dealing with. They're crazed lunatics. And I want it said right now, I believe it's motivated by demonic power. It is satanic, and it's time we recognize what we're dealing with.
I don't even know who to root for there.
I know.
I mean, that's sort of like that's sort of like the lesbian sisters game.
Yeah.
There really is something there. There, we could do some sort of a zany morning show game, like where we play a quote, and then it's like, is it Muslim Pat Robertson or Hitler? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to pull for. Although I will tell you, I know we're never going to get to this week, so I'll just talk about it a little bit right now. That we were gonna do this whole segment about stories that we missed while we were on the air and big news that happened that we didn't get to talk about. And I gotta tell you, right at the top of that list is that whole Muslim cartoon looting rioting, which is fantastic. Yep. I mean, it was so great. And Lara saw me do this every night. I would go home, I would turn on Hardball, I would watch CNN, I would surf the web, I would be looking at Google News, just desperately trying to find more stories about Muslims burning and killing and maiming and looting and rioting and destroying and harming.
They never get tired of it.
No, they're great. They have, see, Muslims, the Christians don't have any follow through. You know, one week it's Marilyn Manson, the next week it's teen sex, the week after that it's huffing something, and then it's Beavis and Butthead, and then it's, they're picketing outside a concert, and then
they're like the soccer hooligans of religion.
Then it's Desperate Housewives. Muslims, they pick something, and they go crazy about something, and they stay crazy. All right?
Past 15 minutes of fame.
Seriously. When Muslims decide to have a totally retarded, disproportionate response to something, they stick with it. And they follow through. Now, American Christian nutcases could learn something from Muslim nutcases. And so it escalated. And just when you thought it was going to run out of steam, they would keep doing it. And I was really hoping that it would start some huge sort of critical mass chain of events that would just destroy the entire world. And as George Carlin always said, I'm on the West Coast, so it's like I'd get to see it on TV for 3 hours before it hit me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There were moments there when it looked like it was just going to completely destroy a whole section of the globe, and I couldn't have been happier. The only thing that would have made me happier is if I'd been here to talk about it. Also, on this subject of things that happened off the air that we didn't get to talk about, and it's sort of related to this, and this one is still ongoing, is this whole, there's this colossal fight brewing over abortion rights. I mean, you all have been following this, right? Because was it South Dakota that just passed that?
South Dakota, yeah.
You know, it's like once the woman's bra comes off, it's a baby or whatever, and you can't do anything about it. And we don't, and you know, it's like us, we don't discuss abortion on the show, and there's many reasons for that, because it's pointless. It's pointless and tedious and a cliche and whatever, but I will say this, that I can't wait. See, there's a part of me There's a part of me that just hopes that the Supreme Court just bans it all, just completely bans it, and just bans it outright, just so I can see riots on television. And that's all. Like, I don't even have any vet. I don't care. I don't have kids. Have kids, don't have kids. Doesn't matter to me. I just want riots. That's all. It's like the presidential election. You know, Bush, Gore, Kerry, man, I could give an F. Doesn't matter. I just want to see people burning stuff. I just want to see buildings having their windows caved in. I just want to see people being beaten with billy clubs on television. I want to see the police turning fire hoses on protesters. I want to see people immolating themselves on the steps of the Supreme Court. That's all I care about. I don't even know, one less kid in the world, one more kid, doesn't matter. I don't go to Walmart, so I'm not going to see their fat asses anyway. Doesn't matter to me. All I want is the Supreme Court to ban it all, just so I can watch states tear themselves apart in a violent, bloody, ongoing, never-to-be-solved civil war that I can discuss every day on the air and then go home and watch for hours on end with the aid of popcorn and a Slurpee. That's all. The entire destruction of other parts of the world, countries, parts of this, it's all just entertainment for me. So, the Muslim thing, and it's like they had their chance. There was a brief shining moment there where it looked like there was just a whole section of planet going to go up in flames, and we didn't get it. We could still get it with the abortion thing. So I want to urge right now, for my sake, for the sake of my entertainment, for the sake of grist for the Rick Emerson Radio Mill, I would like to encourage South Dakota, you know, South Vermont, any, what is that, South Vermont? Virginia?
Dakota.
Is it Virginia?
No,
Dakota. No, isn't there another southern state?
No.
South Dakota and South...
Oh, might be.
I'm East.
Carolina?
I'm thinking of East. South Carolina? Any state that has South before it, and any city that starts with a saint, I would encourage all of you to pass the most restrictive reproductive laws you possibly can, and I would urge the Supreme Court right now to uphold all of those laws, and then I would encourage everyone who opposes that to get fire and pitchforks and handguns and go protest it in the most violent way possible. But just call us first and make sure the news crews are there, because it's all just entertainment to me. So
it sounds reasonable.
I'm sorry. We was going to try to do some brief news. I didn't. I took us a little off course there.
Where were we?
No one knows.
Anyway, let's move along here. And I want to tell you about Narnia. Who went to see it?
I didn't. And
it was okay.
I'm conflicted about it. I was conflicted about the whole Narnia thing, and I just kind of empathizing with the Christian nutcase thing. That I, because you know, I grew up on those books. I grew up on the Chronicles of Narnia. My sister is kind of the one responsible for me being such a voracious reader. She gave me books when I was a kid before, and she read them to me before I could read, and then she taught me to read when. When did kids learn to read? Like five, four?
Yeah, four.
Ten,
five.
Something?
Yeah.
She taught me, I was pretty young, I was like 3 and a half, and she taught me to read really early. And, which is great. And so I've been a huge reader my whole life. And I'm not much of a fantasy reader, like Lord of the Rings. And I just don't, you know, anything with dragons and a guy called Sir something or other, or a guy holding a spear. I just don't care about any of it. But as a kid, I read the Chronicles of Narnia. So I was all pumped up for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But I have to admit, there was part of me that didn't want to go see it. Because, you know, the big deal with that is they were marketing it through churches, right? And they were marketing it as like this big Jesus allegory, which of course it is, but C.S. Lewis didn't want that. C.S. Lewis wanted the Christian allegory to be just that. He wanted it to be under the surface. And he said repeatedly he didn't like the idea of religious people using his books to proselytize. And so there was part of me I just couldn't bring myself to go see it. So I'll have to rent it or something on DVD or to watch it on HBO. I couldn't bring myself to go spend money on it because I didn't want to be lumped in with that demographic.
Well, anyway, they're making a sequel of it, and it's going to be out in the year 2007.
Well, there's seven. I mean, there's seven books. I mean, you got to, you got to do kind of the whole thing.
You know, I'm not sure if this ought to be a snuff watch or not. Mm. The inventor of chicken nuggets, passing away.
That's just a dead guy.
Robert C. Baker, the longtime faculty member of Cornell University, who changed American cuisine with his poultry innovations, has died at the age of 84. He really, in more ways than most will ever know, changed things, said his son Dale. He changed the way we eat. Baker created dozens of products, including ground poultry, chicken nuggets, turkey ham, and poultry hot dogs. The professor of food science and poultry science in Ithaca, Thompson County, raised in Wayne County, which is somewhere back east. When nuggets came out in the 1950s, they weren't too popular. I guess not. I didn't hear about
them.
Yeah, I didn't hear about them.
I thought McDonald's invented those in like 1980-something, yeah.
McDonald's, I don't know, but it says 1950s.
Man, can we all agree? Well, Tim, you probably won't agree, but can Sarah and I agree that chicken nuggets are fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of those, because I'm not going to cast aspersions. I'm just saying, for me, I've tried to cut down. I try not to eat fast food anymore. It's just because I was just, it was bloating up like a Thanksgiving turkey, and it was no good. So the only real thing I did was to quit eating fast food. But there's a couple of those things that it's like they're hard to resist.
Chicken nuggets, chicken strips. I have my girls' night every Thursday, so tonight I'm going to eat a big thing of chicken strips.
Any food that is taken and modified into a form that is completely unrecognizable from its original shape is a food that's good. It's like fish sticks are the same way. I mean, man.
Is that really actual fish?
No, well, fishy. I mean, it's fish in quotes, like Lindsay in quotes. I mean,
are they actually pieces of fish?
Well, I think that fish sticks are sort of like chicken McNuggets and chicken nuggets in general, in that I think they pour a bunch of fish into a thing.
And make them into rectangles.
And then they blend it, or they pulverize it or paste it somehow, and then they bleach all of the fish flavor out of it. And then they add artificial fish flavor, and then they deep fry it. And it really, it's like anything else that's deep fried. At the end of the day, it just tastes like breaded stuff that's been dipped in oil and, you know, and cooked. And that's it. So... All right. So, this chicken nugget
inventor was also a member of the American Poultry Hall of Fame.
That'll get you, girls.
And earned an orchard with his wife, Jacoba.
All right.
He's survived by 2 sons, 4 daughters, and a coop full of chickens.
Okay. All right. So, there you go. All right. Well, we should break here.
We should.
So, we'll break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio about child brides in the South. We got the top 5 coming up. Jen Lane is going to be here, and we will update the Rick Emerson fact. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Johnson 970. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. Back after this. Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. This is from Richard. Dude, back in the day, I used to eat 20-piece chicken nuggets for breakfast before going to work at a potato chip factory, where I would snack on hot, fresh chips all day long. As a result, I was, wait for it, a big fat ass with bad skin. Fish sticks rule, by the way. You can get a gigantic bag for like $5. The best way to eat them is to stack them on toast with the sauce of your choice and cheese for a fish stick sandwich. Boy, I miss that diet. I hate fruit and vegetables. Richard, that's fantastic. A fish stick sandwich. And it's, you know what it is? It's like when you're poor or you just don't, you know, you have like not a lot of money for food, you will come up with the most interesting things to eat. Just combinations of food that you never would have thought of, and just like bizarre recipes where it's just like you're just taking crap that's left over, and you're taking like 5 different kinds of things that don't go together, and you're making yourself like an oatmeal pita, or just things that don't make any sense at all. And it's because you've got like the same poor ass food that you've had for the last 3 months, and you're desperately trying to make it taste better. I can't even tell you. There probably is like top ramen cookbook out there somewhere. But I mean, I remember being a radio guy, being a weekender, and just desperately trying to make the top ramen taste different. And so you would just buy random boxes of crap at the store, just mix it all together. And that's how you find, and we have some, one of those stories today about like some 10,000 calorie sandwich or something somewhere that they always have in bars for a contest. But that's, man, that's why poor people are all so fat, because it's all just starch. It's all just like starch and fat and oil and gruel and grease. All right. Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. I think we got Ed McCarthy from CNN here, who's going to... Like, do I even have an Ed McCarthy sounder?
I don't believe so. What would it be?
I don't. I have no Ed McCarthy sounder.
Well, that's something to work on.
No. I think we were using Georgia or something by Ray Charles.
Oh, that could have been.
I think we were using some Southern thing. Is this Ed McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN in Atlanta, a nerve center of journalistic excellence and communication, bar none. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio. How are you, sir?
Rick, how are you? Long time.
Dude, see, I'm flattered that you even remember me, that you even know who I am, that you recognize my name is flattery beyond words.
Rick, one of my favorites. Come on now.
I bet you say that to all the zany talk show midday hosts. So as I've told Jim Roop, and I've told this to Gary Baumgartner and the other guys, we had you guys on for a long time, and we were big fans of it, and then we were purchased by another company that callously disregarded your talent and tossed you to the curb. And so the very first thing I did when we got back over here to 970 was to put CNN Radio back on, so... It's good to have you back, my friend.
Listen, I've been tossed to the curb by a lot less than the great people like you.
Well,
I can tell you that much.
I recognize talent, my friend, so we like to have you guys back whenever possible. So you're talking about this story. Now, this is from Georgia, right? This story of the child bride of Lisa Lynette Clark, her name is?
It is, and it's really an amazing story. We had the lawyer out with his cowboy hat out in front of the courthouse yesterday. It's a North Georgia woman. She married he's now 15. He was 14 at the time. He just had his birthday. He's 15 now, and found out that she was suddenly pregnant. She's had the baby now. So Lisa Lynette Clark is forbidden to have any contact with the teenage husband until at least his 17th birthday.
Now, her name is Lisa Lynette Clark. Now, here's a few things. Anytime there's a woman who uses all three names like that, first, middle, last, you know that she's poor trash. Anytime a woman has Lynette in her name, you know that she's poor trash. And I have to ask you this. So when this whole thing started, he was how old?
He was 14.
He was 14 and she was how old?
And she's 37
now. So she was 36?
So she was 36, I guess.
So, I mean, I'll make the obligatory comment now about how there's no guy anywhere feels that the kid has been victimized in any way. Because every guy, I mean, I'm looking at her now and she does have a certain slatternly allure. She is what my friend Trey would call porn star pretty. Not actually pretty. But, you know, maybe, you know, you're half in the bag some night. She's that kind of pretty. I have to ask you this, as a man who lives in Atlanta, do you people in the South, and I don't mean that as a pejorative, but you people, do you cringe every time you see someone in your part of the country having some bizarre underage marriage?
You will see things like this. It's unfortunate that you see it in your own backyard, because where this took place is probably only about 15 miles from where I live. So it is quite amazing, to be honest with you, Rick.
You've got to be embarrassed every time someone just lives right into a cliche in Georgia there.
We have many in Georgia, and you know, there are a few other states too, maybe surrounding states that have a few problems, so to speak. They have some issues, we should say.
And so this is my question: is how is it that they're married if he's only 15?
They could have it at Chuck E. Cheese.
That's why she went back in. Statutory rape is the charge. But just to give you a little background on this thing, she was arrested in November. It was a few days earlier she'd married the boy, but under a 62 law in Georgia, by marrying age in Georgia at 16, made an exception in the case of pregnancy. So she gave birth to the baby boy last month. Now, the grandmother says that, he wants a divorce, but apparently the kid is staying quiet on this thing. But this thing went through the Georgia legislature because they tried to fix it. And the wedding prompted the lawmakers to revisit their marriage laws. So they voted to approve a proposal now barring teens under 16 from marrying without juvenile court permission. So this whole thing has been a mess.
So this is like the Mary Kay Letourneau thing, though, where the boy is all smitten with her.
A little bit. He still seems to be hanging in there, although the grandmother seems to be his spokesman. And she says, he's going to get divorced. We're going to have to see where it goes. But Lisa Lynette is going to spend a little more time in jail.
And by the way, if you're looking for a sort of a trifecta here for how you know that you're talking about people from a certain unenviable economic strata, her name is Lynette. She uses all three names. And the boy's spokesperson is his grandmother.
There you go.
So that's right there. You see those in the story, you kind of know what you're dealing with. Well, my friend, it's good to have you back. Thank you for weighing in on this. And if there's any further developments on this, we look forward to your insights. Until then, tell everybody else at CNN that we are glad to be working with you guys again.
Rick, great to be. Really glad to hear your voice.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate it. Thank you, Ed. That's Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio in Atlanta. There you go. God bless him. All right, let's... Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, Rick, it's Steve.
Steve, how can I help you?
Well, Rick, I was just going to tell you got all those bad emails when you made the joke about the Miss Deaf contest winner getting hit by a train. But those women aren't all they're cracked up to be. There was a woman who, I remember, she won the Miss Deaf Universe contest, and part of it was because she was deaf, and Hard Copy busted her. She wasn't really deaf. They went over to her house, and they rang her doorbell when she was vacuuming, and she answered the phone, and or answered the door and talked to them.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm serious. It was a big deal on Hard Copy about 5 years ago.
How desperate are you to win some sort of a pageant that you pretend to be deaf?
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, sir.
Maybe that's how she got hit by the train, Rick. She faked it or something. I don't know.
Maybe. All right. Thank you. All right. Rick, I used to eat the hell out of Top Ramen, but I found out that when making two batches at once, using both packets of seasoning was too much. The seasoning, by the way, which is just, that's sort of a euphemism, that seasoning, it's just salt. That's all it is. It's just salt and some sort of floor scrapings. So I gathered a pathetic stockpile of ramen flavoring, and I'd use it to spice up my Uncle Ben's white rice. But, by the way, both the ramen and the rice tasted like ass. Poor, poor ass. There you go, that's from our friend Best. Out there. So my thing with the ramen, I used to go, because it's like 10 cents, right? It can't be much more now. Well, I would buy the whole case of Top Ramen, and then I would buy like the big generic jar of spaghetti sauce, and I would somehow delude myself into thinking that I was then having some sort of Italian meal in my tiny apartment, and it's just pure starch. I mean, it's you're having like 80,000 calories a night if you do that. It's nothing good. You don't want any part of that. All right, let's break. We'll come back and we'll do the top five around the corner. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is going to be here. We'll update the Rick Fack, and we'll talk about some of the things that happened off the air when we were off for 11 months. Talk about some of the developments in the lives of Sarah and Tim and myself. We're here with Sarah X. Dillon, Tim Riley. I'm Rick Emerson. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. Back after this on Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. Don't go anywhere.
Fish to fry.
It was in the bathroom. Pardon me. Oh. You told me I had time.
A minute.
All right. Well, the bathrooms here are difficult to use.
And they're unisex, which kind of sucks for me.
Well, only the one here. There's two.
Yeah.
Just so people have. This is what's called being relatable to the audience, so
and
they
the
know
soap
that
goes down the back side of the sink.
There's actually two. There's two bathrooms. There is a bathroom right outside the studio door here that's about 15 feet away. It is a unisex bathroom. And the problem is, though, we're over here, Couple FM is over here, K-Hits is over here, all in like one hallway. And so and the engineers are all over here, and the production department is over here. So at any given time, there's like 80 people that are trying to use the bathroom. And that bathroom's weird anyway, because you go in there and you turn on the fluorescent light, and it gives you, you feel like you're watching one of those Japanese cartoons. It's giving you a seizure. And then it's, and then it doesn't lock automatically, and it's a one-person bathroom. So, like, I had that thing yesterday where I went and I thought I locked it and I didn't, and you're there 4 or 5 feet away from the door doing your business, and the door starts to open. I mean, and you want to talk about a moment when just fear shoots through your veins. You're in the bathroom and the door starts to open, because it's one thing like if you're at your house, like if you're at your home using the bathroom. See how relatable this is? Do you see how the people out there in the audience will feel like Rick has the same problems they do?
Rick, if you keep saying you're relatable, it makes you so much less relatable.
I have a bathroom, too. Hear that? Rick's talking about that. We have a bathroom. Let's listen to him every day. Let's be P1s. But I'm in the bathroom at home, and somebody starts to open it. What do you... It's like you're It's like one of those women who lifts up a car when it's on top of her child. You know, it's a burning car, and suddenly she has super strength. I'm going to save my baby. Somebody tries to open the bathroom door at home while you're using it. Like you, Olympic athletes don't have reflexes as fast as you have at that moment, and your grip is that of steel. You know, you're grabbing, wham, shut it, no, you know, and you keep them out. Here, you can't reach the door. So if you're at the toilet engaging in some sort of toilet activity and somebody starts to open the door, the only thing you have is just to shout out, no, and to try to stop. And that's embarrassing because then
you ruin the tour that's going on.
I know.
You're facing the other direction, at least. I'm totally screwed because I'll be sitting there.
Sitting there. Well, and then, so if that bathroom's busy, you got to go out the hallway down to the bathroom where the theater used to be. And so the other bathroom is armed with an electronic code, and you got to press in a 6-digit code to get in to use the bathroom. And so if you're like me and you're in a hurry, like just now, you're like, oh, I got to use the bathroom. You run there and you get to it. And what do? You always enter the code wrong, and then it takes 10 seconds to reset. So you're like 5, 6, 7, don't, and you got to wait 10 seconds for it to reset, and then you get in there. Toilet paper's all weird. Do you have the weird?
So you ran all the way to the theater bathroom.
Well, this one was occupied.
That's pretty impressive. That was really fast.
I'm trying to say you're lucky. I did my best to get back in 60 seconds. I won't go on and on about the toilet paper they've got here either.
I love the toilet paper.
Right now, there's a conversation happening somewhere in the CBU. This is the show you hired? How much did you spend on this program?
Well, I've never seen it before. It's more like, tissues.
Well, because it's not a roll. It's not a solid roll of paper. It's like it's like a little box of Kleenex puffs, you know, where you pull one out and another one comes out right after it.
But they're toilet paper size.
But it's toilet paper. It's like Post-it notes, except it's toilet paper. We are actually now engaging in toilet humor right now.
It's normal for girls to use toilet paper, but you're sitting here talking about your toilet paper use.
Literal, actual toilet humor. And it all, you know, and it just comes out one square at a time. And then you have to, like, wad a whole bunch of it up. It's all very strange.
Hmm.
Let's do the top five, shall we?
I'm a newsman. I have no bodily functions.
Like a nun. Here's the top five for Thursday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Fire!
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do.
It was just an observation I was making.
Counting is happiness.
Trying to let people know that, yes, he's on the radio, but he has to use the bathroom just like the rest of us. All right, here's Tim Riley with today's top five.
Everyone has carried a firing box, a box of shame and defeat, in which one's worldly possessions are taken home to be put out of sight and out of mind. Let's take a look inside the firing box of Rick Emerson with these, the top five worst songs found inside the box of crap he took home from Entercom last April 21st.
Oh, that was me.
And on honorable mention is the Black Peppercorns with Molly's Got a Secret.
Now.
Are you sure this is a first aid kit?
Wait for it. I can hit the post because these songs all have the same structure. It's sort of a distinctive Black Peppercorn style. Now, did I tell you this? That when we did Bigger Than Jesus in June, because, you know, we were off.
Yeah, Molly's Got a Secret.
That's the little breakdown part. That's the hook. That's what they'll play for the audience at the hook test when the consultant comes to town.
Oh, the little dude, right?
When we did the Bigger Than Jesus though this year, the Bigger Than Jesus live show, if you saw that, there were the little dudes. And the little dudes were guys who came out on stage. They were like ring girls at a boxing match that told you what round it was. The little dudes came out and they held up a sign saying what year that scene took place in. One of the little dudes was the brother of the Black Peppercorns.
And he was adorable.
He was fantastic. Troy, that was his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, the mom didn't know me, I didn't know her. It was a complete coincidence that, you know, she brought her son in to be one of the little dudes for Bigger Than Jesus, and we were talking about music, and she goes, oh, my daughters have a band. And I said, oh, really? What's that? She goes, they're the Black Peppercorns. I was like, no way! We love the Black Peppercorns! Troy had kind of a sullen look about
him,
though.
He was so fun to dress up, though. He was fun to put in costume.
It's kind of creepy.
Oh. No, he's adorable. He's going to be a little lady killer.
Okay. Yeah, he kind of had that sullen and bitter look. My parents give all the attention to my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Someday I'll kill them. That's, he totally had this sort of vaguely creepy look on his face. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Number five is, say what? I can rap higher.
We got this sent to us. I don't think we ever played this. This got sent to us by one of our listeners, Marianne. I think I can use her full name. I swear to God, her name is Marianne Rambo.
Pretty cool.
This.
How come we never played this?
There was only so many hours in the day.
Hi, come on in and get ready to hear the best there's ever been. I'm telling you, girl, this one is dandy. I'm talking about the brand new record from Sandy. Sit right down, let the fun begin. We're gonna play this record again and again.
You know, here's the thing.
Surprise, when she sings, you know her vocal cords had angel wings.
Is it you, Sarah? You probably know 100 bands that can't find any money to record their album. This is a whole LP from these guys. There's like 15 tracks on this record.
And done it right. But I'm going to tell you something else tonight. Now you'll be mad when you hear. But I've been practicing all this year.
They're called Say What. They have a record deal.
But I can sing higher.
Yeah. Pick up the phone. It's 1984. There was, as I've noted before, this golden era of time, this window when anybody on earth could put out a rap CD. I don't think we ever had time to play the Joe Pesci rap album. I got a whole album of rap from Joe Pesci.
I think Sandy Patty's great.
All right, here's Jim Riley.
At number four is Milton Nascimento and Beat It.
I just got sent in the mail.
It's brand new.
This was like 2 days before we went off the air. Oh. Milton Nascimento. No return address. The note just said, this will make you cringe.
All right, let's find out.
It's kind of a world music sort. That's fantastic. These are the top five worst songs I found in my firing box. I'm sure Milton's going to show up any moment now. Milton's in the bathroom.
Does it start pretty soon?
The anticipation is killing me.
You're listening to Smooth Jazz. 107.9.
It's the music everyone at the office can agree on.
The surf. I think there's
something about to ever come around here.
Okay, there you go.
I see your face, you better disappear. The fire's in their eyes and their words are really clear. So beat it. Just beat it.
You better run. Who's the supervisor in Futurama?
Hermes?
Yeah.
Like, that's coming out of your paycheck.
Better do what you can, so beat it.
Yeah.
But you wanna be bad, beat it, beat it.
I don't know why this exists.
Showing how funky, strong is your fighter. It doesn't matter who's.
I don't even know what kind of accent this is.
Sounds like Forrest Gump.
Just beat it, beat it. They're up to get you, better live while you can.
I don't think he understands what he's saying. I think someone's reading large phonetically spelled words off cue cards in the studio.
Better do what you can, so beat it. Just beat it.
You have to show them that you're
really not scared.
You're playing with your life, you sing the truth for death.
Now, he's only singing part of the lyrics.
I don't think the girls know what they're singing about.
So beat it.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Number three is Mr. T. The Mr. T? And Mr. T's Commandments.
All right, here we go again. Somebody found themselves a Casio in 2 hours of recordings time at Westwood. Any minute now, Mr. T'll show up. Any second now. It's got to be right here.
I guess that wasn't the post.
Maybe this is sort of Mr. T Presents, and he's not actually on it. Okay, here we go. Mr. T, take it away.
Mr. T's a star, but get this far, somebody has to help. It takes all kinds to help you find confidence in yourself. You count on some as a rule of thumb, but most you can't depend. When things get hot and you're in a spot, your parents are your friends.
All right, now, at least the last guys were white, and they had an excuse.
That you fall.
I
hear a cry, they don't ask why, they answer when you
It's like in the 80s, there was only one rhythmic pattern that existed. This is off an entire... Mr. T, by the way, put out two full-length albums.
Believe it.
Not unlike Hulk Hogan.
I can talk all day, but the rest is up to you.
Doesn't he sound like he's having some kind of painful movement?
You're
counting down the top five worst songs that I found in my box of firing crap when we left Entercom last April 21st. Tim Riley?
Number two is Nicole what's her name? Karolikas. Dear Mr. President.
Yeah. You remember Dear Mr. President?
Was this from like years ago?
This is from 9/11 was really a tragedy in multiple ways. And I think the true enduring tragedy of 9/11 is this song and all songs like this.
But like Toby Keith's Angry American?
Well, look, I mean...
Yeah, let's draft Toby Keith.
Let's be honest here. The people who died on 9/11, their suffering is over. They went quickly. We're still here, and we have to listen to this. That Todd Beamer guy, he's never had to listen to this song. Never had to suffer through it. Here's the best thing, and best being an admittedly relative term with this song, is that
at least it rhymes.
First of all, I think this woman teaches a music class at Salem Elementary School. Secondly, if I remember correctly, this song was actually pitched as being by the students.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
it was pitched as being by, like, the, what's her name, Rosalie Caracalus?
Nicole Caracalus.
Nicole Caracalus. She pitched it like her whole class was doing this. The children appear nowhere in the song. They're just a callow marketing tool. The children are in another room. It's nap time.
Maybe it's four children.
Yes. The children are out on the monkey bars or something, or huffing something. This is just her. And by the way, it is a sort of maxim of life that any song that starts with the words Dear Mister is bad. In fact, Dear Anything. There's never been a good song with Dear as the first word.
Dear God.
Dear God, okay. Well, that's the exception that proves the rule. Because Tim and I, of course, think of Dear Mr. Jesus.
Yes. You're about done?
No. No, this has got like another 2 minutes.
No, but we have so many good, bad songs.
Okay, but
you gotta skip
to the end where they do this little bit of the Star Spangled Banner. Wait for it.
Nope.
Yeah, wait for it. Wait for it. Next, a couple. They're going to need something to replace that Carrie Underwood song one of these days. Maybe we just pass that over there. Tim Riley?
Oh, brings a tear to my eyes. Number one is Baby Got Books. We don't know who does this.
Baby Got Book, who is... This was...
Oh, my...
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Becky, look at her Bible. It is so cute. She looks like one of those preacher guys' girlfriends. But who understands those preacher guys anyway? They only talk to her because she looks like... Mother Teresa, okay.
By Dan Smith.
I mean, but look at it. It's just
Baby Got
cute.
Book.
It's gross. She just looks so righteous.
I like big bubbles and I cannot lie. You Christian brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with a KJV and a bookmark in Proverbs, you get stoked. Got a name engraved so you know this girl is saved. It looks like one of those large ones with plenty of space in the margin. Oh, baby. I want to read with you, because your Bible's got pictures. My minister tried to console me, but that book you got makes
me so holy.
Oh, mama mia.
So here's the thing with this song. This song is sort of like swinging three bats in the warm-up circle, that when you finally get, you get out there to bat, and that, you know, it feels like you're just holding a whole lot of nothing. Anything you hear after this song will be fantastic. Doesn't matter what. You can just listen to the sound of seals being beaten with golf clubs after this, and it's going to sound like Vivaldi to your ears. We're going to break here. We're going to come back with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. We'll be updating the Rick Emerson Fact Like It's a 3 World Famous Phil Henry Show at 7. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Back after this on the Rick Emerson Show.
And I'll be with the ribbon bookmark. vacuum leather and bound. It's 50 pounds. I just can't understand how it is some weenie wants a bottle on CD. She wanna get you saved. Amen. Double up. Amen. I ain't talking about a paraphrase, cause Paul wouldn't use those anyways. I like them real thick and red lettered. You can't find nothing better. Southpaws in love, bottles that bigger unheard of. So I'm sitting here thinking, what if I find me a girl that shows midriff? You can have those bimbos. I keep those chicks that do devos.